This episode of The Fetish Show could be sponsored by you. We offer exceptionally reasonable rates, and your sponsorship will run right here at the front of the podcast for the life of the podcast, which means it's an exceptionally good deal. If you're interested, get in touch with me, Dirk, that's D-I-R-K, at thefetishshow.com. This podcast is not for kids, so put them to bed, turn out the lights, make sure the mood is right, and get ready for something that's out of sight.
The Fetish Show brings you the latest in alternative photography, modeling, art, and fetish lifestyle. Your host is renowned fetish photographer and BDSM mentor, Dirk Hooper. He is joined by professional dominatrix, Princess Zoe. And now, here's Dirk.
Welcome to The Fetish Show.
Welcome to The Fetish Show. My name is Dirk Hooper. I'm a professional fetish photographer, and I'm here with Princess Zoe, who is a professional dominatrix and a professional fetish model. So how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Dirk. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's been happening with you lately?
Wow, a lot of stuff's going on. Business is picking up.
That's good to hear.
Kind of a slow summer, but that's typical in the industry. Summer
slow.
Why
is that?
I don't know. Why is that? Why is that? Can you tell me why?
Are people fishing? Or are they? What are they doing?
I don't know what they're doing. Mopping their floors and kids
going to Disneyland? Is that what it is?
I think so. I think that
people are just going to Disneyland.
Slow during summer.
It's just too hot to be spanked. What the fuck?
I know they still think about it because I get the emails. I can't wait.
Of course you get the emails. I can't wait until it gets cooler so you can spank my ass.
Doesn't exactly say that.
I mean, what exactly does that mean? I don't get that.
He's making that up. They don't say that. It says other really juicy stuff, but not that. So anyway, yes, business is picking up.
That's good to hear.
As par. And lots of really cool things going on. As far as business-wise, I'm getting a lot of very new and interesting clientele that are very much into the fantasy and role play. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Well, as you know, I'm a role play therapist.
Right. So you're into that.
Yes. I think finally the word's getting out there and I'm getting some really interesting sessions scheduled that I'm excited about. Totally. And I got a new GPS system in my car. I'm very, very, very happy. And now, like, you put it in reverse and you can see behind you. I love that.
Because you need that.
So it can beep.
So the mirror is not really sufficient.
No, exactly.
You have to have a video camera back there.
My car sits really low. Because
okay, so that's the excuse?
Yes.
Is that your car is low?
Yes.
So you need a camera in the back of your car?
Yes.
Is that what we're saying? Is that the routine we're going with?
Yes.
Wow.
And I can watch DVDs at the same time.
Which is great. While you're backing up to watch DVDs.
When you put it in reverse, you can only see behind you. The DVD player stops, actually.
Right.
So I got a very cool system in my car.
Sounds very safe.
However, it did interfere with the heated seats. So now I have to go back and have this kit.
Wait a minute. No heated seats?
Well, yes, but no. Not for 2 more weeks till they get the part to put the heated seats back.
Damn it. I really like the heated seats, actually.
I do.
I'm kind of a big fan of the heated seats.
Yes. And you know what kind of car I have. So,
right.
So therefore, you know I need heated seats because...
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, why would you even have the car without the heated seats? I mean, seriously.
It would not be wise.
Fuck it. I mean, why even drive the car? I mean, why put gas in it if you're not going to heat the seats? I mean, for real.
Or cool them.
Absolutely.
Cooled or heated leather seats.
Are even better because there's nothing quite like having a nice, cool tuft of air up your ass.
As it's a convertible.
Everyone needs that. You know? No, you don't need that. You need it up your ass.
Yes. Cool seats up your ass.
That's what I'm saying.
Whatever. Okay. Anyway, so I got that installed
right
in my brand new BMW.
Awesome.
Yes. My convertible hardtop BMW, since you didn't mention that. It's okay.
Well, I don't know if I was supposed to mention. You know, I figured that a lot of people are probably stalking you anyway, so I'm not sure if we needed to give the make and model of your car. Yeah, so,
well, they'll go, oh my God, it's the one with the heated seats. That's her.
That's right. Just check and see if the
seats
are
heated. And the DVD player
heated.
That you can watch. Yes, that's it.
Right.
Anyway. Oh, so anyway, I got some new toys I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
I got a brand new leather, custom made, pink, because pink's my color, and black, corseted flogger. I'm very proud of.
That sounds cool. I want to see that.
Yes, I'd like for you
we'll
to
use that for some pictures.
Yes, we'll have to. We'll have to. One of my clients actually bought me that for me. My clients are very good about buying me little items such as that.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. And thank you, sweetheart, for buying them for me. And a hobbler. You know what that is? Humbler. I'm sorry. Humbler. I don't
humbler.
Know.
Is that a humbler? Humbler.
Humbler you put on your feet.
It's a humbler.
Humbler you put on your nuts.
Yeah. A hobbler. Hobbler's another thing. That's like Misery. That's like a Stephen King novel.
That just like
a humbler is another thing entirely.
I make mistakes. Rarely, but I do occasionally. So, no, it's a humbler.
Yeah, if you're not familiar with a humbler, basically
Google
it's a...
It.
Yeah,
well, go, Google no, okay, it. Go ahead and explain that
well,
to
it's,
us.
Well, it's like, essentially, it's two pieces of... Well, the original humbler was like two pieces of wood with like a hole in the middle, and then you put the two pieces of wood together around some dude's coin purse. And
well, let's put the dude in position first. He's
right,
on all fours.
Right. He's on all fours or he's bent over. And then you put the humbler behind him
so
and
you,
stretch his balls behind him.
Right.
And put the little piece of wood together and screw it all up. And so by the time that it's all done...
His nuts are back there.
He can't... Yeah, his nuts are back there and he can't do anything but,
it's
but
two
bend
pieces,
over.
He has exactly two pieces of wood.
Which is why it's called the humbler.
And it goes behind, right
not
at the bottom of your ass. That's not the hobbler. That's like so a horse won't run away or something, right?
Right.
Hobble the horse.
Right.
Anyway, it could be the same thing. Is he's not running away because he can't.
Right.
Because he's...
I mean, he's not going to 7-Eleven in that outfit.
Oh, fuck no.
Pretty much not.
No. Not unless he's walking on all four, crawling.
Right.
No, he can't.
Which would
do
be
it.
Interesting.
Yeah, that would be wrong. I don't think that'd serve him anything.
Probably not.
So anyway, I got that. And some weights. I don't know if any of you guys... are interested in having your nuts in a parachute, but if you are, then you will know what I'm talking about. I got some new weights for my parachute.
Right.
And you can also put them on the humbler. It's new ball weights.
Right, good. That's important.
It's very important.
Ball stretching, if you're into that.
Yes. It apparently feels good for these people.
All right.
This.
That's good.
And so that's going on. And I have some new changes inside the dungeon. I have two crosses now and there. I don't just have one. I have the... I know where you're laughing.
You have the Asteroid Destroyer.
I have a huge one that I take to parties. It's very, very big.
It's four stories tall. It weighs about 10 metric tons.
Tinder calls it like the Asteroid Deflector.
It's the Asteroid... Listen, all I'm saying is that if for some reason... We're in like some sort of Armageddon situation and we've got an asteroid coming towards the planet and we're like, fuck, what are we going to do?
Just get Princess Zoe's...
We could go over to Princess Zoe's dungeon and get that fucking St. Andrew's cross and sling it at the asteroid and it would take care of it.
You can probably see it from space. It's very, very huge. And it's painted,
hot
pink.
You can see two man-made objects from space. You can see the Chinese, the Wall of China, the Great Wall of China, and you can see Princess Zoe's St. Andrew's cross.
It's a great cross. And it's double-sided, so you can put two people on one side. And it was built for...
200 people on
for
one side.
One that was 6'7" tall.
Yes.
However.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you're flogging Shaquille O'Neal, this is probably the
Shaquille
perfect...
Shaquille, come see me.
Yeah. This is probably the perfect cross for him. But for anyone who's like, you know, normal size, not in the NBA, then this might be a little bit too much.
It's not. Anyway, I have another one, a cross now, and it's more your size there, Dirky.
It's mortal sized.
And also the door to my cage, the dungeon table is a cage.
Right.
And at the end of it has a door that you can lock prisoners in and out. The door to the cage has now been installed. So that's now working and functioning. I'm very
right.
happy about that.
That's awesome.
That's very awesome. So that's the changes in the dungeon. Oh, and I have a new cane. And other than that, what else? Oh, I have new lube, wet, platinum. Yes. If you go to Dallas and you buy the lube, all right, you must be aware of this. Let's just say XXX Adult Bookstore A sells it for $41.95. Wow. Right across the street.
Right.
XXX Adult Bookstore B sells it for $21.95. What the hell? And they have glory holes in the back for you who care about that. So you know. So one's for stripper oriented.
Right.
Yes. A great stripper club. Beautiful. I love their costumes.
Yeah.
However, go to Ghetto Store, get it for and they have a glory hole place in the back and get your lube cheaper.
Completely get all of your needs taken care of.
Yeah, what the hell ripping off the strippers with the lube shit? I didn't appreciate
strippers
that.
Strippers have extra money, man.
Well,
we got a lot of discretionary income.
I don't know. They don't need to spend,
believe me.
They don't need to spend $20 extra
believe
on lube.
Believe me, I know they've got extra money.
They don't need to spend then they won't have any extra if they keep spending on that fucking lube they sell over there. No.
Yeah, shit, you don't. I mean, what's so special about that? I mean, all why right. can't you just use some fucking Crisco or something?
No. So the new one I'm trying is lube. The lube is a wet platinum.
Right.
So there you go.
All right. That's important. That's good to know.
So that's my new and improved news. So what's
up with
you,
good stuff.
Dirk?
Well, I wanted to say that the fetish show has been taken off because I've had to up the bandwidth on our site like two different times here in the last couple of months.
I know.
So hits are definitely taken off. And I'll tell you something. Having audio on a website definitely adds up quick. It adds up quick because you've got large files on the site, so you're taking up a lot of room. And plus, when people hit your site, it eats up a lot of bandwidth. So these sites, you know, they have to be fed with a lot of space and a lot of bandwidth. But anyway,
are you trying to melt my brain?
Sorry. All I'm saying is that there are a lot of people who are hitting the site. And
didn't we get like 2,700 hits off of episode one?
It's growing exponentially. So, and I mean, I haven't even checked it lately, but I have been upping the amount of space that we put on there so that we don't crash the damn site. So
whatever that means, that's obviously good.
It's a good thing. It means there's a lot of people hitting the deal, and we appreciate that.
All right. Thank you for hitting our deal exponentially. Expialidocious. Okay, go.
I'll also say that, you know, we really appreciate all of the input we've gotten. A lot of the events and stuff that we're going to be talking about soon were sent to us from different people who were listening or who are friends of ours or who have been, you know, in communication with us. And we really appreciate that sort of thing. We're getting questions from different people, which
I appreciate. We're getting a group of supporters. And thank you guys, really.
It's awesome. It really makes a big difference.
Yes, it does.
And I just want to encourage you, send us more stuff. You know, if you're
more penis photos, more penis photos.
Oh my God! If you if you want to get in touch with us, I'll say again at the beginning of the.
That was like subliminal. Did you? Yeah,
I know.
Tit photos, penis photos. Keep talking like that.
Okay, if you want to get in touch with me,
penis photos
at Dirk.
See if it works
at thefetishshow.com. Or just go to the fetish show. Send people to the fetishshow.com.
It does work. See, I fucked you up.
Yes, you did. Thank you.
Tits, penis.
So
anyway,
also we just got a 7-page spread in the latest Dark Fairy Subculture magazine for Toxic Goddess. It's got a ton of photos in there by Robert and myself. I would like to say that it's Dark Fairy Subculture magazine issue number 6.
Awesome.
It's in the middle of the magazine. It's an entire retrospective that goes all the way back to 2004. Is written by a guy named Jacob A. Grimm, who interviewed some fans. He interviewed 4 of the models. They interviewed both Robert and myself. It was a pretty good deal.
Wow.
And we're really proud of it.
So what about Toxic Goddess? Means, what's going on with Toxic Goddess?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, it looks like we're going to be doing a Halloween party here pretty quick.
Amazing. Yes.
Which is coming up, and I will be sure to tell you about that before it happens. And you know, what we're trying to do is get Princess Zoe up there.
Trying.
On the side.
Are you trying?
Yeah.
Are you trying to do that to me?
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit briefly about Toxic Goddess. In 1 or 2 years past, Toxic Goddess used to have a burlesque show that was involved with the Flaming Lips Ghouls Gone Wild Halloween party that they do every year. And at the after party, Toxic Goddess had a burlesque show. Amazingly, was hosted at the
The IO Gallery,
downtown Oklahoma City.
Right. We were the official after party.
Yes.
We showed up in the Gazette about three different times during that deal. Had a huge crowd out there, and it was a massive success for us.
So I believe that taking over the production management of Toxic Goddess is going to be very relevant in next year's same event, burlesque show, new and improved music, whole everything, whatever. We're going to have a totally great show next year, so be looking forward to that. So Toxic Goddess is going to be putting on a little bit new face, a little bit new, not direction, but a little bit more.
Well, hopefully more consistent, and hopefully, you know, we get in some new venues. And we can do a little bit of touring and stuff.
Yes.
And we do have, you know, quite a few goddesses. Matter of fact, there's going to be another two or three new goddesses coming out here pretty soon.
Yes.
And it seems like a lot of them have a, you know, like kind of a dance or an entertainment background. And so,
and that plays, you know, into the burlesque show.
Yeah, they really, you know, they really look forward to an opportunity to get out there, and you know, they love taking the photos of their
models. They have such a following.
But it's just another avenue to get out there and entertain people. And so hopefully
we'll be looking forward to that going, next year at Halloween. So anyway.
All right. I also want to say, I want to put out there that I'm looking for some makeup artists. I need like a team of makeup artists because so I got to tell you.
He does. Trust me.
I do. Seriously. I mean, if you have.
He has wrinkles.
If you have any more than. Right. If you have any more than one model, you know, involved in a shoot, it takes forever to get through them if you only have one makeup artist. So we really need, you know, two or three makeup artists that are interested in working not only with my own personal stuff or with Toxic Goddess, but also interested in doing, you know, paying gigs for Psyche Studios,
so
if you're interested.
Let's also say this. If you're in school, if you're talented in artistic work, and this isn't everyday makeup. This isn't I'm getting married or I'm going on a date makeup. That's right.
Glamour makeup or it's
artistic.
It's artistic makeup.
So you're going to have a lot of freedom. And if you want to build your own repertoire, if you want to build your own
portfolio,
this is a good way to do that. So if you come out and work one time or if you come out and work many, come on out and we'll get your name up on the site. We'll get you some recognition, and you'll get to work with some of the greatest models in the fetish world. So come on out and try it out. Do it. Come on, guys. And if you do hair,
and again, if you're interested in doing makeup and stuff for me, then you can get in touch with me right here.
Yes.
Dirk@thefetishshow.com. And, you know, you should probably be somewhere.
Princess Zoe, because I need to.
You should probably be somewhere near or around Oklahoma City, I would say. Oklahoma City, half of our models are in Tulsa right now, too. So you're in that area, too, that would be cool.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to do some traveling as well.
And it's hard for makeup artists, actually, to really make a name for themselves because it's just one of those fields that it's just kind of difficult.
And if you know, typically you're going to be doing, like you said, weddings or something like that. I mean, this is an opportunity to really build a portfolio because our stuff is pretty wild.
Well, man, we have girls that do it all the way from who have been licensed to do it to one girl who was just out of high school, Jade, who just is just very good artistically.
She does a great job.
Yes.
I mean, we're looking for someone with creativity.
Yes.
I mean, bottom line, creativity. I'd also, honestly, I'd like to find someone who's into special effects makeup too.
Yes.
That might be interested in putting like,
horns on your head.
Horns on your head
scar,
or, right, scars or anything like that.
We have one guy that does the airbrushing, which is amazing.
Yeah, he does great stuff. As a matter of fact, he did he did zombies for me during one of our shoots.
Right.
Which was fantastic. And he does a lot of body painting and face painting. And I mean, he does all kinds of amazing
you guys,
stuff.
Any of you guys that do costumes, makeup, hair, any of those things that are needed, set design, whatever. If you're interested, get in contact, but definitely makeup artists. So yes.
Yeah. For sure, makeup artists. You mentioned costume design. If someone's interested in, you know, getting their work out there, or they are, they do fashion. I mean, since you mentioned this, if you do, like, I'm not interested in normal fashion. I would be interested more in fetish type stuff,
really,
or in fantasy type stuff,
or
you know, maybe what's gothic or steampunk. If you do something like that,
steampunk,
and you want to get your work out there, then I can put it on a model and make sure that it looks better than it's ever looked before.
Yes.
All right. I think that's it. Next thing we're going to do is go to the Fetish Show News.
And now the Fetish Show News Desk.
Today on the Fetish Show News, we begin with a story from Australia. Sex party candidate and professional dominatrix heats up the federal election. A dominatrix running for a Senate seat with the Australian Sex Party is preparing to meet voters in the center of Camden this week. Fearless of condemnation from the Family First Party and other conservative groups, 38-year-old former Army officer Larissa Zimmerman said people needed to shift their focus from making money to making love if they wanted to get the most out of life. She will be at the outside of the NAB, I have no idea what that is, on the corner of Argyle and John Streets to discuss her party's policies and meet with voters. Quote, I was raised in a family out on a farm where sex was natural, she said. I was taught that making love and sex was something to be respected. Sex and intimacy is what we need, not more plasma televisions. The sex party policies include ending the tax-exempt status for religions and total equal rights in all areas of the law, including same-sex marriage. But MacArthur Federal Family First candidate Grant Herbert from Mount Annan said that the extreme statements of the sex party were designed to bring yet another sideshow debate to divert an election campaign away from real issues affecting families. Quote, the statement as given to us is coming from a party whose main mission focus is to provide a political response to the sexual needs of Australia, whose funding is from the sex and pornography industries, he said. So, Zoe, have you ever considered maybe running for office?
Yes, I have.
How about running under the sex party? How about that?
That would be fucking amazing.
Absolutely. We need that here in America. Why don't we have the sex party?
Where is that on the ticket?
Holy shit. That beats the hell out of both Democrats or Republicans.
I'm for the fucking sex party, God dang it.
I am totally for that. That needs to come over here.
Dude, what if you won like the election under the sex party?
Oh, it's awesome.
That's amazing. Fucking Australians. Dude, I love these guys. They're always in the fetish news. Look,
I know. I get a ton of, you're absolutely right. All these dominatrix are,
yes,
are tearing it up over there.
Hell, yes. I love this article.
Down under.
Amazing article. The only thing.
I think what it illustrates is that, we're pretty prudish here in America. I mean, I don't think there's much doubt about that. We are. We're definitely a puritanical society. We have no problem with showing people getting decapitated or getting eviscerated. But we got a few hangups on sex. There's no doubt about it.
Especially in Oklahoma in the middle of the Bible Belt.
Yeah, the buckle of the Bible Belt, I'd like to call it.
Well, the only thing that came to mind in the whole thing was. About making more love was the apes in the Congo. You know,
when they meet. What the hell are you talking about?
When they meet
Planet of the Apes.
When they meet a new ape, they like fuck them. You know, it's like it's just like sex was natural. So it's like so the sex
like,
party.
What the fuck are you talking about?
What don't you know the apes?
Is this like the birds and the bees? I am familiar with that. Yes.
No,
I don't know about apes.
That's what they do. They like it. It's a way of greeting. They like fuck each other. And so it's like,
wow.
So back in Australia.
I like that. How are you doing? Let's fuck.
Well, read about, well, Google it, God dang it.
Nice to meet you.
You know every damn
and
thing else
pussy.
In the world. Or a cock, whatever. Any freaking way. Some of you out there will get what I'm saying, although right. Hooper doesn't, but that's okay. King of the hoops over here. I love the Aussies. They're fucking great. Yeah, the sex party. You know what? I'm going to run for office. That's in my plan.
That's awesome.
My long-term plan.
That's in your 5-year plan? Your 10-year plan?
No, it's my 20-year plan. I'm going to run for office. I'm going to write a book, run for office. Anyway.
I'd run for office, but I'm so far all over the map that I don't think I would get anyone to really vote for me.
Well, that's, you're accurate.
Well, what
can
I say?
Whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't.
Well, all right.
Right.
Just saying, I got too many skeletons in my closet.
I'm going to be the ruler of the world, so go ahead.
I don't have as many as like real politicians like John Edwards, but, you know, I have my share.
Or Tommy Thompson. Or
shit, Tommy so. Thompson? So anyway, our next story is the race is on to make the first 3D porn movie. This is from the UK Telegraph. Hong Kong director Christopher Sun is currently filming his $3.2 million 3D Sex and Zen Extreme Ecstasy movie, which is due for release in May, but Italian director Tinto Brass has already announced that he will produce a 3D remake of his 1979 erotic film Caligula. Although mainland Chinese censors are almost certain to block the movie screening, it has sparked wide interest in other Asian markets, including Japan and South Korea, as well as Europe and the United States, naturally. Adding to the pressure, the American company Hustler is making a pornographic spoof of the 3D science fiction blockbuster Avatar, the highest grossing movie of all time, and the film that heralded the beginning of the mainstream 3D boom.
Tinto Brass.
Yeah. Wow. When's the last time you heard that fucking name?
I'll never heard it.
Seriously.
Wow. Hustler. That's the name I haven't heard in a while.
Right.
Hustler. Yes. Okay. Good. Actually.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was going to say Hustler was involved in the making of the original Caligula, but I believe that was Penthouse, actually, that was involved in that.
I have no idea. I was actually an edition of a Hustler magazine.
Wow. Tell us more.
I will tell you more. There was actually an air show down in Harlingen, Texas.
This is not going to be anywhere near as good as I wanted it to be, is it?
I happened to be there.
Dear
at this air
Hustler.
Show with the Flying Angels down in Harlingen, Texas.
Right.
And the photographers for Hustler magazine was there.
Right.
And I was pointing up at one of the aircraft.
Wow. With yes. No clothes on.
No, I was fully dressed. I signed a release. So I was in a Hustler.
That's really disappointing.
In an edition of the Hustler magazine about... some years back.
Right.
Don't know exactly. Yes. So there you go.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Your debut in Hustler.
My debut in Hustler.
Her first
magazine.
Appearance in Hustler. here's what I think about 3D movies.
Particularly, what do you think? Tell us.
Particularly in your home. I'm not sure if I want to like dodge penises from my living room. You know what I'm saying?
Well.
I'm not sure if I'm really ready for that yet.
Honey, I'm not sure why that would be a bad thing. What if it was tits? Would you want to?
I would be
those?
More for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm ready for it.
Okay. Well, you know, the Asians have some cool takes on some things. I mean, their whole cosplay kind of anime.
Oh, I agree
thing
with that.
Is kind of.
Well, you know, 3D porn's coming one way or the other. I mean, I heard actually there was a lot of like boobs and stuff in that Piranha movie.
Really?
I've heard that from like three or four people. Number one, I've heard from everyone who saw that fucking Piranha movie.
They said tits?
They said, number one, that it was very entertaining. It's yes. Campy, but it was, you know, campy on purpose.
Yeah.
And they said there's a lot of 3D boobs in that
3D
movie.
I'm going. Let's go.
And by the way, it's not one of these cheesy films that decide after they make the film that it's going to be a 3D film. It was made from the very first as a 3D film, and it was using exact same technology they used to film Avatar, so they weren't creating any bullshit there.
I don't know that that's important. However,
it's amazingly important to those of us.
Teddies are important.
Absolutely.
That's all that's important.
If you're going to see boobs in 3D,
teddies,
then it might as well be done with the correct technology,
teddies.
Not kind of some sort of ridiculous aftermarket bullshit.
Whatever. Teddies. Okay.
All right. Our next story is The Old Masters. BDSM's popularity grows
like
among senior citizens.
I like this story.
This article was written by freelance writer.
I should say, I like this story.
It was written by Rachel Rabbit White. The Sins Center is spacious and clean. St. Andrew's crosses hang against the walls. Empty sex slings sag in the corner. An old man with a beard flogs a graying submissive. A naked and bulbous woman bent into doggy style.
Bulbous?
It says bulbous.
Bulbous?
Bulbous. That means like round.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Her purple posterior takes each of his toys, leather flogger, plastic cane, studded paddle. The Sin Center has become something of a hangout for older people in the lifestyle. Master Z, the owner of the club, says that about half of the clientele are over 55. Quote, we have a club manager who's 75, a club manager who is 80. As a matter of fact, I don't think any of our club managers are under 50 here. Unquote, says Master Z. According to sexologist Dr. Carol Queen, there are precautions that come with age. quote, some sorts of BDSM are the erotic version of high-impact sports. A person of any age must take their health and body resilience into account, she explains. Some things to pay attention to with an older partner is whether the skin is thinning and how their joints are doing. They'll want to make sure that they can communicate about health issues to partners. According to Dr. Queen, the internet is a catalyst for older people. I think it's easier for younger people in general to go out and look for partners, she says. The internet levels the playing field and allows older people to seek partners, making it easier to find new romance, or for that matter, a tryst with a sex worker. It also brings the sexual world to a generation of people who may not have had as much access to explicit materials earlier in their lives. So I think that for some, it sparks or gives permission for new erotic interests. According to a study by the University of Chicago, here's the University of Chicago. They do a lot of sex work.
How does the internet portion of that equate to the actual sin center portion? I didn't get that.
I'll explain it later. Oh, according to a study of the University of Chicago, more than 3/4 of American men and half of women aged 75 to 85 are still interested in sex.
But culturally, we just don't see this.
Dr. Queen has two theories. There's been an underlying bias in our culture that sex really is at bottom for reproduction.
At bottom.
That's one of the things that continues to power homophobia too. After one is out of one's reproductive years, the notion of sex becomes unseemly and even unacceptable to many. The other thing I think is that there is a societal pressure on us to fear aging, and seeing evidence of older people's sexuality brings up our different feelings about getting older, our own body image fears, fears of mortality. As our collective lifespans continue to increase, that stretch between 65 and 80 is no longer the last phase of life. Quote, I love Sir, and that's Sir with a capital S, and I love being out there in my sexuality. And that's it. My children have got their own lives now, explains Peaches. It's a new section of life that we've never had before, and it doesn't need to be spent solely with grandkids or in retirement and inactivity. Some are realizing this, giving themselves the freedom to get what they want.
Who wrote this article? Rabbit White?
Rachel Rabbit White.
Okay.
Which I'm sure was, you know, her God-given name.
That's a fucked up name. What do you think about that story there, Mr. Hooper?
I think it's very interesting. I think it opens up a topic that almost no one ever talks about, which is basically our parents and grandparents having sex.
I love that topic. But let's talk about the other things towards the end of the freaking article.
Well, they're saying that basically the internet has opened up a whole world for people who are older because they're not going to go to a fucking disco club or something and pick someone up.
Sure.
The internet levels the playing field because they can search out people of their, you know, that are attracted to them and are acceptable age.
Well, I found this article to be very disjointed in the way it was written. You should have written this article. Sorry, rabbit, but whatever. Anyway, the sin center, instead of the retirement center, you know, where you can take like elderly parents to the...
Right. I mean, that was just her introduction to it. And then she told
about...
That's great.
That's a great facility.
The larger issue of basically older people exploring their sex lives.
I understand. And thank you for the doctor giving these, you know, caution, whatever, for whatever reasons. Thank you. However, the Sin Center is a great idea because there are places where you can drop off grandpa for 5, 6, 8 hours every day and he can play shuffleboard.
I don't think it's the Sin Center that you drop grandpa off.
Or he can be like tied up to the asteroid deflector.
Spanking someone's bulbous ass.
Exactly. So, great article and...
kind of an interesting subject, I think.
Yes, it's just like the way it was written. But anyway, yes, by Rabbit Wine.
Right.
Probably getting in trouble for that. Anyway.
All right, our final story today is A Bondage Man Didn't Know the Ropes from the UK Daily Mail.
Oh, shit.
A kinky computer engineer died of tying himself naked to a tree with a cord wrapped around his penis, naturally, an inquest heard this week. Kevin Kirkland, 44, used a pair of makeshift rope handcuffs to attach himself to the trunk, reported the Sun, but got trapped when a knot jammed around his wrists. walkers, people walking, discovered his body slumped against the tree the following morning near his home in Newport, Shropshire. He was wearing just his socks and boots and had a small piece of cord wrapped around his penis. The court was told that Kirkland died from hypothermia and blood loss from cuts on his wrists caused by his desperate attempts to escape. He had drunk 7 pints of lager and a vodka and Coke with a pal the night before. After leaving his friend at 1 a.m. on December 30th, he returned home where he made the rope handcuffs. He walked to a canal near his home where he stripped naked and attached himself to the tree. Kirkland tried in vain to escape in freezing temperatures by rubbing the rope up and down the tree, stripping the bark of moss, and cutting his wrists. At 8 a.m., dog walker Mark Griffiths and his partner Elaine Batho heard Kirkland crying for help. Eventually, a police officer came and cut him down. He was rushed to a hospital, but he died hours later.
Lager. What country was this in?
This is the UK. Okay. And it's from the UK Daily Mail, so... Yeah, they do lager there, baby.
Yeah, they do.
So this is this is a bit of a Darwin tale, I think. A little bit of a cautionary tale of not to do stupid shit when it's cold outside, naked, and you're drunk. When you could do it inside with maybe someone helping you out, whether it's a friend or a professional.
As a professional, I do try to explain to some of my clients that there's only about 3 activities to 4 we can do within an hour session, and I do not do suspension or heavy bondage alone with a client.
There's a whole subculture out there of people who are just not getting their needs met, essentially.
Sure.
And they do this self-bondage stuff, and unless you really know what... Well, first off, I don't think it's a good idea.
I'm confused.
No matter what you do there, but...
I'm confused by exactly what he died from. Honestly,
he died from cutting his wrists from trying to get out of this thing,
yeah,
and from hypothermia because it was cold out there and he was naked.
I think maybe that's probably what he died from, was the hypothermia.
Well,
I'm sure that was part of it too. You can probably cut your wrist with the twine or whatever the...
Well, he was rubbing it against a tree.
That's not going to cut deep enough. I don't know enough about this to say why the hell the guy died. He probably died of a broken heart because no one would time... fucking up and beat his ass. I don't know. Sorry, guy. Sorry to your family. I'm not laughing at you. Why in the hell didn't you have like a knife nearby?
It's a sad deal, but look, the moral of this story is don't fucking strip yourself naked and tie yourself to a fucking tree, no matter how much it gets you off.
I will not do suspension alone.
Get a partner.
Yeah. Get a little knife you can put nearby.
Or hire a partner.
Cut yourself out.
No, don't do this shit by yourself.
Don't.
Period.
Try this at home alone.
There's no way that this makes sense.
I don't understand it. Poor guy.
And don't do this shit while you're drunk.
What? Yeah. Didn't touch your blood. What the fuck? Whatever.
Yeah,
sorry,
it's just ridiculous.
To his family. Anyway, BDSM story, across the board, BDSM story. I'm sorry, non-whatever. I don't know what I was thinking. I lost.
It's very, very Elliot. Okay, anyway. Let's talk a little bit about upcoming events. Before we even get into upcoming events, I want to say something. I've got maybe 3 or 4 different upcoming events, and only one of them that I've picked up off the internet. The rest of them were from people who sent us updates and said, hey, we got this thing coming up. Would you please mention it on your show or, help us get this information out there? And we love to do that.
Love to do that, yes.
So please keep your events coming because we want to know about
it. Let me caveat to that. Send us some fucking tickets to your event. We might come. Come on, guys.
I'll tell you something. If it's something that you do regularly or you want to get some promotion, we will set up a remote at your location. We'll interview some people.
Or not, but still we'd like to come. Come on.
Even if you don't want us to do a remote, then have us out there because we'll talk you up.
Come on, let us come on.
We'll talk you up on the show.
That's right. There you go. Go ahead.
All right.
What you got?
So the first deal that we have is the Toppers BDSM Retreat.
Yeah.
It's based in Malaga, Spain, and it's again opening its doors from the 17th to the 23rd of September this year, hosted by world-renowned London dominatrix Countess de Jaeger and assisted by a small team of slaves and maids. The retreat offers visits from 1 hour to a full week for submissives and DS couples. Single and double rooms are available together with a cell block and even a solitary confinement cell if a more degrading visit is required. The retreat is full board and all prices include free transfer from the Malaga Airport. Full details, including prices, are available on the website. That's www.toppersretreat.com. And of course, I'll put that on the website. Or for specific queries, including availability, you can email toppersretreat@hotmail.co.uk.
Sorry, I interrupted. Full board just means all your meals.
Right, yeah. They're gonna feed your ass.
Well, not everyone knows that.
That's true. Okay.
Press on.
Right. So this next one was sent to me by a friend of mine, Shibari Master David M., who I've done some photography with. He wants me to pass on to you an event called Truly Bound, which is October 22nd to the 24th. In Kansas City, Missouri.
And we may be attending that.
That's very true. Guests include, bondage masters, Lou Rubens, Mark Yu, and Sir Dart.
If we get a ticket.
Classes include basic bondage, beginning suspension, theory and practice of floor play, something called bondage bullfighting. Which I've never, I'm sorry, I've never heard of bondage bullfighting.
I am
intrigued. I'm intrigued by bondage bullfighting.
I like that.
And finally, basic multifunctional wrist tying. We're going to post the information on how to get more information and where to get tickets on the website because they're very long email addresses. The next event is actually coming up this week, which means I got to post this episode immediately. Yes. It's called Twisted in Tulsa.
Yes.
And this
and
was
who's
sent
going?
To me.
Hello.
Yeah, we're
we
going.
Are.
We're actually going to this one. Twisted in Tulsa from Tracy, who is the Tulsa Dungeon Society Event Committee Chair. She said it's from September 10th to the 12th at the Tulsa Select Hotel. On Friday night, they have a meet and greet dinner. Classes all day on Saturday. The following presenters are Master Obsidian and Slave Namaste. Whipmaster Bob and Boot Pig. Master Olivier and Pup Sparky.
A lot of presenters.
Caro.
A lot of workshops.
Doc Ian. So, yeah, you got a lot of workshop there. Saturday night, of course, they have the dungeon play party, which is what everyone looks forward to. And Sunday, they have a roundtable discussion with all the presenters, along with a continental breakfast.
What exactly is a continental breakfast? It's like a muffin or something, right?
It's basically a muffin and coffee. Maybe some fruit.
Definitely is. Yes.
Yeah. South Central Leather Contest is working in conjunction with the event. They're going to be holding their contest Saturday night at Mavericks. All the details are on the website. You can go to TulsaDungeonSociety.org and look up /2010 event. And again, I will put that on the website so that you don't have to remember it.
And this is a little bit bigger of an event than I think than you may realize or that others may realize.
Oh, I think it's going to be pretty
Twisted
huge.
In Tulsa is a big ordeal.
Right.
And I think it's definitely worth looking into. And Mr. Hooper and myself, Princess Zoe, will be there in attendance, especially at the play party on Saturday night.
Yep. We definitely got to be there for
Look
that.
Look there, yes.
Yeah, it's good
Look
stuff.
Look at my breasts. They'll be there.
They'll be on display.
They will be on display. Thank you.
Thank you. Frankly.
Okay.
And finally, I got contacted by someone named Dustin, who we don't
Dustin.
Know, but he's a new guy who was a fan of the show and wanted to invite
like
us out to
and
this thing.
Interesting website. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I ended up talking to him a little bit about fetish photography, which I thought was interesting. He wants to invite everyone to the Oklahoma City Gear Night, and we don't have a lot of information on this, but I'm going to give you the information I have.
Let me also say, let's all be open. And let's all think very positively. I think Gear Night's a great thing, and I'm in support of Gear Night. Go ahead.
All right. The next night to meet is September 18th. The whole thing is about growing the fetish community in Oklahoma, he says.
Thank you
it will
much.
Be at the Oklahoma City's Gay Bars come in leather, rubber, sports gear, etc., so they want you to dress to impress. All are welcome to come and hang out, he says. It's going to begin at 10:30 at Tramps, 11:30 at Phoenix Rising, and from, I believe, 12:30 to 2 o'clock at Finish Line.
Well, I can tell
you we don't have any contact information for that, so put your stuff on and head out there, buddy.
Well, let me tell you this. I have a little bit of contact information. I'll give it to you.
All right, good. Yeah, email. Good.
But I can't tell you how many times I've gone to gay bar just because I love the music and I love to just be able to dance and not be fucked with by other people.
Right.
So I'm very much in support of gay community. And
well, let's be honest. The gay community was way into, you know, fetish and BDSM long before the yes. straight community was. I mean, yes. you know, it, as an organized activity.
That's right.
And, right. You know, while the straights were kind of hiding in their closets and stuff, they, that's you know, right. the gays were actually, you know, doing the business out there and, you know, forging the path.
That's right. So, you're exactly right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you really have to, you know, pay your respects to that community. And in this case, they've invited everyone to come out. So, you know.
That's amazing. Let's all go. Let's all go.
You know, support this thing.
I think it's great. Gear night. So, what the hell? How harmless can that be? Gear
right.
night.
Absolutely.
Fucking gear night.
So thanks, Dustin, for sending
Thank
that
you,
to
Dustin.
Us.
Thank you, Dustin. Thank you very much.
And that's going to wrap up the fetish news. Next up is questions and answers.
The Fetish Show Q&A.
This is the Fetish Show questions and answers segment. And today the question is for me, so I'm going to let Zoe read it.
Wow, for you. How amazing. All right. This question is from Jordan. She says, greetings, Dirk. I've noticed you're a master of doing photography on models. Got a quick question. How did you start out finding good models? Whether they were Doms or regular Joes, how did you go about approaching them and asking them to model for you? Just to get started on doing modeling photography, I've done modeling before with some good friends, guy friends, but I want to do some with some women, not nude, but erotic. Just something surreal and abstract. So what's your opinion on that? How do I get started?
I think that in the case of photography, there's several issues on getting models. I get asked this question constantly is, how do you get models? And I think that it's like the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come.
That's so not true.
And by that, I mean, if you're a good photographer, models will find you. Plain and simple.
Now,
to specifically answer the question, when I was first getting started out, seriously taking photos, I was in college. I was working, you know, I was in photography classes, and there were female models there that or female students there
were
that were
naked?
Interested in modeling for me.
Were they naked?
They weren't naked, not in class.
Damn.
And, for whatever reason, I got the opportunity to, you know, take pictures with them and get better and better at my craft over time. I didn't get my first nude model until I was out of college, and I began to show them the photos that I was taking with clothed models, and I began to seek out online, you know, someone who wanted to do the type of work that maybe I wanted to do. So the first time I got
specifically,
the answer to the question is get good at photography.
Thank you. Yes.
Because I get contacted maybe anywhere from, you know, once to six times a week by different models from all around the world, literally.
Really? All around the world?
Yeah, I do.
You do. I know that for a fact.
Who want me to take pictures of them. And the reason why they want me to take pictures of them is because I have built the field of dreams. I've spent the last, you know, decade and a half working on my craft and trying to do the best possible photos that I can so that when models see my photos, they go, wow, I want to either work with or for this guy. Because they know that I'm going to.
That's what I said.
That I'm going to do work that's going to, you know, make them or present them in their best light.
That's
or
right.
Maybe it's something that's going to be creative or something that will add to their portfolio that doesn't look like everyone else's stuff. I specialize in doing dominatrix photography.
Fetish photography.
And fetish photography.
Unusual photography.
I attract fetish models and dominatrix because
and weirdos,
yeah, my share of weirdos, and particularly women, because that's mostly what I photograph. Although now I'm beginning to expand my portfolio into taking pictures of guys too, because I'm just looking for the variety in my own stuff.
And because I have pushed him into it, because I totally love TG girls. I totally love transvestite girls. And I kind of push him into a little bit in that direction. So he does do
some. And by TG, she's not meaning toxic goddess. She's meaning transgender double.
Yes, that's right. So I do push him into other things for me. So
look, to answer the question, because it's kind of cruel to say, you know, wait 15 years, they'll start coming to you. But hone your craft. Be good. No matter who you want to shoot with, if you show them your portfolio, whether it's online or whether it's actual 8x10 photos or whatever, and you're trying to get someone to work with you, your work better be ready for it. Because if it's not, it's you're just not going to get anywhere with them. I think you're better off working with your friends or with acquaintances or with models who are brand new.
That's right.
Who want to build their own portfolio, and you know, despite the fact, don't go for the models who are getting paid to do covers and stuff. They're not interested. Believe me. Find someone who's at your level and begin to work with them at first, and both of you can hone your craft together.
That's right.
Okay. But always be seeking to be better at what you're doing, and be out there as much as possible. The models will eventually begin to find you. I promise you. All right. Well, that's the end of our question and answer period. And next we're going to have story time with Princess Zoe.
All right.
It's story time with Princess Zoe.
Get your graham crackers and your warm milk ready, because now it's time for story time with Princess Zoe.
Well, the story I have to tell you now and dates back to when I first decided to become a dom. The first thing I did was seek out you, Dirk Hooper, my fetish photographer, and other doms that would teach me their craft, their skills. And the girls that would work with me were on the East Coast. Here I was in Oklahoma City. I contacted some girls on the East Coast, and three of them decided they would work with me. So here I decided to go out on my venture to the East Coast.
What made you decide to contact someone out on the East Coast?
I contacted girls all over the country.
Interesting.
These are the girls. And I had one mentor in mind. I had one idol in mind.
Right.
And I will tell you about her in another story, okay. Another show.
All right.
However, for this particular part, let's just say three girls on the East Coast. So
right.
Here I go on my venture, because these girls decided they were going to help me. And I decided for Oklahoma City. I went off in my brand new convertible BMW. I just got off the showroom floor, and here I went. And so I went out to Boston, and I'm in Boston, and I'm having a great time, and I'm learning some things from a couple of doms there. And a friend of mine calls me from the country of Greece, and he says, "Hey, I'm going to come in, and I'm going to visit to the United States. Come pick me up." I'm like, "All right." So I met him in upstate New York, very close to Niagara Falls.
Right.
So here we are in Niagara Falls, all right, in the middle of the night, picking up late, in the middle of the night. We're standing on this side, the United States side, watching the water go down into the falls, whatever. And the lights go out at fucking midnight. The lights like turn off.
Really?
Yes, they turn. Off. I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm sorry." I'm like,
"Wow, it's like, go home."
He's like, "What the hell?
We're turning the waterfall off."
But they're on the Canadian side. On the Canadian side, the lights are on.
They're still on.
Shining on this side, back to us.
Right.
I said, "Hey, let's go to the Canadian side. And you can put on your passport, 'Hey, I've been to the United States and to Canada, two
right.
countries, one visit.'" All right, here we go. Do-do-do, get in the car, whatever. The line, go across the border,
right,
and ask for our passports. Show my passport, no problem.
Do they ask for passports in Canada?
They fucking damn sure do.
Really?
So my friend gives a passport from Greece. Oh, Oh, well, how do you know her? Oh, well, I met her when she was living in Greece. Oh, you lived in Greece, ma'am? Yes, I did. I lived there for 3 fucking years. Okay, well, could you pull over here? So pull over to the side.
Do we have a lot of terrorists from Greece?
I don't know.
Fuck, what's the deal?
They have like 4 cars parked over to the side. Okay, they're jacking up these 4 people, and I'm one of the 4, okay?
Right.
Okay, like 3 of them like Iranian people.
You're the
people.
Fire starter, like usual.
There's like 3 Iranian people and me and my Greek friend, okay?
Right.
Every fucking body else is going through to the other motherfucking side, right, okay? Except for us.
You're a problem.
I am a fucking problem now. I'm like, what the hell? But I see they're profiling. Hello? They're profiling. You cannot go into Canada unless you're like an American. So an American with a good fucking track record,
right,
and not with a Greek friend. And if you look Iranian, oh, fuck no, you're not going into Canada. So don't try.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, they pull us over and like, God dang it, it's midnight. They turn off the lights in the United States at Niagara Falls at fucking midnight. Okay, so that's how I know what time it is. So we go across Canada at motherfucking midnight. In Canada on this side of the border, pull over here, ma'am. Okay, whatever. I see all the other people going through, choo-choo, all these cars. I'm like, hey, what's these white people? Hey, whatever. Okay. Pull over. They're pulling all the contents out of Ahmed's car, out of Omed's car, and out of motherfucking my car. Well, that is where the problem begins for me, okay?
So you had some bodies in there? Or?
No. However, I had decided
to go. You had some Rocky Mountain herbs in there? Or what was going on there?
To go from Oklahoma City to the East Coast to learn my craft as a dominatrix.
Right.
By some other doms that were out there.
Right.
And on the way, I had purchased some items and things or whatever.
Interesting. Like what kind of items?
Large dildos and some other riding crops and other leather products.
Interesting.
And lube and stuff. So, right.
$40 lube.
Of course. And a friend of mine calls me from Greece and says, hey, I'd like to come to the States. I'm like, well, but no. But he's like, oh, but I'm coming now. I'm like, okay, change direction. Do not come to Oklahoma City. I'm not there. Come to upstate New York. Okay, well, I meet him there and pick him up there. And so it's like, oh, okay. Of course, he didn't know what I did as a profession because I didn't do it as a profession then. But when we went across the border to Canada, he's like, what the hell,
So they emptied out your trunk.
My brand new convertible BMW.
Right.
Not just the trunk, everything, dirt, everything. So I had been to the XXX store. There's like items that are like 12 inches tall, like in the package. And they put them through a scanner. They're like scanning them.
So they're scanning dildos.
Scanning dildos and things through the scanner.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. And we're sitting on
questions about the dildos?
No,
or
no questions. Like, hey,
who's asked
check
the
this
dildos
out.
Were
hey,
going
check
in?
It, yeah.
Or?
No, nothing. Hey, well, hey, what check this out? So
right.
Yeah, and I'm like sitting
did
like,
they ask for a demonstration?
Negative. Or? So we're sitting on the sidewalk. Ahmed and his family got through being jacked up, and they let him go. They're like in Canada now, and I'm like sitting here, and I'm learning to smoke from my friend from Greece. I'm like, they all fucking smoke there. I'm like, dude, just light my cigarette.
That's because none of them have jobs.
That's true, and they just smoke and drink coffee. I'm like, smoke.
It's a hell of a life.
It is. Could be. So anyway, they empty out my convertible, put it on the X-ray machine, and I'm like, oh my fucking god, I'm gonna die. So when they're done, like an hour later, they say, oh, would you like us to like put everything back in your car for you? I'm like, how about fucking no? I'll do it myself. God dang it. So I put everything back in my fucking car for myself. Here goes the thongs, the dildo items, the lubes and things and riding crops, whatever. So all that goes back in. So then you go into from the outside area into the inside area of the customs area. And they question you there. Who is your friend from Greece? I'm like, he's my fucking friend from Greece. Who, you know.
So you're still not over the border.
We're not over. We're at the. We're like going through. We drove over the bridge. We're like right there, you know, like before you go into.
Right.
Okay, there we are. Okay, so we all got cleared and we're good to go. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to come into your country anymore. I'm just like fucking bored with you. It took like an hour and a half to get here from now. I'm like, no, we're tired. No, I'm going back to the United States. Okay, ma'am. They put a little you know, check on my little paperwork. Here you go. Hand it to me. And I'm like, come on, dude, let's get in the car. Go out in the car and drive back over the bridge to the United States. I'm like, fuck Canada. What the fuck with the Mounties? What the hell? Eh, whatever. Can't see shit anyway from their fucking border. So we get over to the American side. I'm like, yeah, American side. Here's my paperwork. Hey, so, oh, you didn't enter the country of Canada. Well, why not? I didn't want to. Oh, well, ma'am, could you please pull over to the side over here? I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? They just
so now you got stopped at the American border. Yes! Because you...
You didn't enter the country. You didn't enter the country. I thought
they stamped you. They didn't stamp your deal.
They stamped my deal. My deal was stamped, and all I was good to fucking go. But I didn't go into Canada because
but
I
you
said
didn't
no.
hang out there.
I didn't fucking hang out because I did not actually enter the country. I was at the border,
right?
And said no, fuck you. I went. Well, I'm sure they didn't put that on the paperwork, but I went back.
Right.
Like, oh, you didn't enter the country of Canada. Oh, well, ma'am, pull over here. I'm like, oh my hell, God, thank you, Jesus,
nice.
No. Yeah, so anyway, yeah, so at the country border crossing of Canada, they jagged me up with lube and some dildos, a riding crop, and some other paraphernalia
right.
that were to the profession. Anyway, so the moral of the story is, if you are with a citizen from another country that is
right.
not an American,
right.
do not try to go to Canada because they will not let you in without jacking you up. And if you have dildos in your car, just forget it. Forget it, man. Just fucking forget it.
Wow. There you go. I don't have stories like that with the dildos and stuff.
But I had a good time in Boston where they
all right. Well, that's good.
And in New York, there's three right. doms I learned.
They like dildos there.
I'll tell you another story.
And foreigners,
time. But yeah,
people
yes.
from foreign countries, they
true.
Like them there too.
It's true. But I'll tell you another time. But that's my story for tonight, and I'm sticking to it.
All right, and they all lived happily ever after. Yes. Next up is the wrap up.
And now back to the Fetish Show.
All right, that's going to wrap up another episode of The Fetish Show. I'd like to invite everyone to go to thefetishshow.com. We're going to have links and some photos from Zoe's trip to share with you, which you will all enjoy, I'm sure. You can find out more about us and how to contact us. Also, I want to invite you to go to Princess Zoe's site, which is theprincesszoe.com. And to my own site, if you want to see some stuff. Actually, I'm working on some photos right now and trying to actually, as it turns out, I got an old drive of mine that I thought was dead to come back to life. So I'm reworking
an old hard drive.
An old hard drive.
Oh, not like love. Like no love.
No. This thing had died on me a long time ago, and I got a new computer, decided to try hooking it up, and what do you know?
I
pulled off about 300 gig of old photos, so I'm working through those again, and I'm going
to
be putting them up on my site very soon, and you can see that at darkhooper.com.
Amazingly.
Also, we've got a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/TheFetishShow.
The Fetish Show.
And by all means, get in touch with us. You can contact me directly at dirk@thefetishshow.com for potential guests, invites to events, products, books, videos, websites, questions for Zoe or me, or suggestions for the show. And finally, to wrap things up, this was supposed to be our Dominatrix episode. It didn't happen this time. It is going to happen next time. The Dominatrix rule, we're going to try to cram as many Dominatrix into an episode as we possibly can. And hopefully we're going to be doing that very soon. So with that.
And if you are interested in advertising on our website, we have a space for you. If you want to support us, if you'd like to have one of our slots on our space, get in touch with us. We'd be glad to post you.
They're not getting any slots on my space.
Well, anyway, we need supporters.
Yes, we have.
If you want to advertise with us, contact us. Thank you.
We do have places on the website to
He's just being nasty. He's just nasty.
We do have places on the website that you can advertise, but even more importantly, we can put you at the beginning of the show.
And you can see.
And that will run in perpetuity.
Perpetuity. That means infinity. And you can find us next weekend. At Twisted in Tulsa, we are going to attend the event. We'd love to see you there.
That's a good point.
Good point, and thank you.
So everyone, thanks for listening to The Fetish Show.
Thank you.
For Princess Zoe, this is Dirk Hooper saying, dream hard.
Thanks for listening to The Fetish Show. We're always looking for interviews with models, artists, and BDSM lifestyle leaders, as well as information about events and products. For more information, check out thefetishshow.com. Contact Dirk Hooper directly by emailing Dirk@thefetishshow.com.